back to the Stephen A. Smith Show.
28 minutes past hour number one, back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's always great to have my next guest on because I always want to be edified and educated, see what's going on and how we can get through it. The one and only Ryan Smith, legal analyst extraordinaire for ESPN and the ABC family as well. It's good to see you, Ryan. How's everything going?
Stephen A., I'm good. Late nights working Sports Center, but otherwise I'm good to go.
Well, you know, I ain't going to feel sorry for you with that one, man.
I know you won't.
The great ones got to work. You know how it is.
Yep.
But let me ask you this. You heard this news about Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier, Damon Jones being arrested in regards to this gambling case. Your thoughts, your initial reaction, particularly when you saw the director of the FBI at the press conference.
Yeah, stunned. Absolutely stunned. But not stunned that there was a sports betting case like this. I was stunned that Chauncey Billups was involved. You talk about his reputation, Hall of Famer, upstanding individual. I mean, this was the last thing I expected to see, him being involved in something like this, according to prosecutors. But I'm not surprised from the scepter of how sports gambling works and the accusations here. Think about it. Even with the case of the sports betting, so much of it is based on insider information about who's sitting, who's not. And this is something that's been out there and part of the problem with sports betting for years, decades, that people will try to get that inside information. I don't even know how you fix that part of it other than limiting the amount of people who have that information. But for me, overall, just Chauncey Billups and the allegations that he's facing and watching the FBI director up there saying this is insider trading for the NBA was earth-shattering to me. I could not believe it in terms of scope and how long they've been investigating this as well and who's involved.
When the FBI director uses the word, this is insider trading in the NBA, how potentially damaging is that for the NBA brand just to hear those words coming out of the mouth of the FBI director? And what does that mean for the culprits, the individuals involved that are being perceived as culprits because obviously they've been indicted?
First, what it does to the NBA, I think this is the worst crisis they've faced in the last decade or two. And the reason why is it goes straight to the heart of the integrity of the game. If you have an insider trading issue, and the reason he put it that way is you get a look, Stephen A., into how they're going to frame this case in front of a jury. You know what insider trading is. You know it's when people get information, use it to their advantage, and make boatloads of cash. Well, this happened in the NBA. That allows people who are judging this case, a jury, to look at this and say, I can identify with that. But worse for the NBA, it just sets up a point of where there's smoke, is there fire? Are there multiple cases of this going on? Is there more? You also heard the FBI talk yesterday about how the investigation is ongoing. But the biggest problem for me, Stephen, for the NBA is how do you really fix it? You'll see rule changes. You'll see different things happening. But at some point, someone has information about who's sitting, who's playing, who might be tanking, and someone is talking to someone else. I do not know how you stop that flow of information from being used for ill-gotten gains. Now, in terms of the people involved, I think it's the ability to try to break this case down and connect it to a potential jury pool out there and the public at large. This was the scenario of how it happened.
Explain what that means to connect it to a jury pool out there. Explain that.
What that means essentially is prosecutors want to win a press conference. They want to get up there and use a lot of terms that everybody in the public, including potential jurors, can understand. They had this information about who was sitting, who wasn't playing. They had this information about who might be tanking. So this person used it, gave it to that person. And folks, it's just like insider trading. It's just like the kind of thing you see on Wall Street that every day you say, this is how the rich get richer. And by making that connection, you have already put the defendants here against the eight ball because it's trying to win the press conference by saying, public, this is the very same thing we fight against on Wall Street. And now it's happening in the games you watch.
We're talking to Ryan Smith, legal analyst extraordinaire for ESPN and ABC, right here with Stephen A. on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Who's the more damning accusation against? Is it Chauncey Billups? Is it Terry Rozier? Is it Damon Jones, the former player and assistant coach? Who's tasked? I mean, when you talk about being incriminated, who looks the worst out of those three?
Okay, I'm going to rank them. The first is Damon Jones, because he's involved and named in both of these indictments. And the allegations against him are shocking. The text messages that you see, it's not only passing along information about who we believe is LeBron James and whether he might not be playing and the implications of doing that, but it's also potential involvement in the poker scheme as the face card that lures in the fish that they then use illegal methods to try to get money from the victim. So I think his involvement in both, and also even in the indictment, what we're seeing that's gone back and forth, or at least is alleged to have gone back and forth between him and some of the other potential co-conspirators, makes it very tough for him. Next in line for me is Terry Rozier, because here you're talking about direct involvement of what he did in a game. You saw his season averages, and then he takes himself out of a game, allowing people to bet the under. The scenario itself looks damning. Now, his lawyer has already said they're going to fight this tooth and nail. I expect him to plead not guilty. But if there are revealing text messages, revealing communications, revealing information that show that he got money from this, I don't know where he goes with that case. I think the lowest in terms of proof and being able to defend a case is Chauncey Billups. Here's why. I look at this and I expect Chauncey Billups' lawyers to say, well, who, me? Well, I was just here. In other words, I didn't know anything about the conspiracy. And the problem with charging with conspiracy is you got to be aware of it. You got to have some sort of involvement in it, or at least it's got to be able to show that you had some involvement in it. So I wonder if they try to paint this as, hey, somebody said show up to this game and we'll give you some money. Chauncey Billups says, okay. And then he claims he had nothing to do and knows nothing about all this other stuff that was going on. Or even with the potential allegation of him as co-conspirator number eight in the sports betting scheme, that's the allegate. That's what people believe. They believe it's Chauncey Billups. He hasn't been named in that indictment. The idea could be, was he talking to somebody offhand, having no idea what would have been used with that information? So I think they all are in great trouble. I think this was a year-long investigation. The FBI has its ducks in a row, so do prosecutors. But I think in terms of order, I think Damon Jones right now, based on what we see, has the biggest problem.
What about the mafia families that Cash Patel brought up and what role they're playing in all of this? I mean, to me, tying a coach, a player, a former player and coach to the mob is not a good look at all either. But it could be a lot of pomp and circumstance more so than anything else. I would imagine it's not, since the director of the FBI shows up in a press conference and not only said the mob, named the mob families.
Yep. And that's huge for prosecutors, because what do prosecutors and the FBI want in society? They want to show the public that they're cracking down on crime. And what better way to show that than to say they're cracking down on organized crime? So that's the big fish they're trying to get. Now, there's a couple different levels to this as I see it. The first level is when you involve the mafia in something like this, it makes the whole case a lot more damning for everyone else potentially involved. Now you're tied to the mob. So you look at somebody like Chauncey Billups. If he was just charged with a gambling scheme, it would be bad enough. You're charged with a gambling scheme and being involved with mobsters. That is awful when you look at the public perception of what he's fighting and his ability not only to win this case, but any future after that. But even bigger than this, Stephen, I wonder if they are doing this tactically to try to figure out who will flip on who to get more information. When you see indictments like this come down, that means there is substantial evidence to prove this case. But they want more. They want more indictments. They want to see what else they might charge. So maybe there's a person in the mafia who's named in this that might flip on somebody else. Maybe there's the ability to get more information about somebody else to help them better prove their case. So I think there's a lot of levels to this, but it never hurts the FBI or prosecutors to say, hey, we've got a criminal enterprise going on here and the mafia is involved.
When the FBI is trying to squeeze you, it's one thing to be what I would term to be an open-ended squeeze, where, okay, let's squeeze him and let's see what he tells us, etc. It's another thing entirely if they have their sights set on a specific target. Based on you and your legal knowledge and how you see these things unfold and work, did you get the impression watching Cash Patel in attendance for this press conference yesterday that he has a specific target in mind when you mention Damon Jones, a Chauncey Billups, a Terry Rozier, you know, like it, rather than, okay, let's see what else we can find out. Let's see what else falls from the trees. Instead of that, there's a specific target. Did you get that at all, that impression?
I think he could. I think I got a little bit of that, but I also want to caution against saying he's looking at a specific person or group of people. Because I think, Stephen A., having seen so many of these investigations over the years, they are casting a wide net. And I want people to almost look at investigations like this as if you get too, you ever have that situation where you get too focused on one thing, you try to make something happen so bad, and if it doesn't happen, everything else that potentially could have happened is out the window because you were focused on just that one person or just that one group. I think they're taking the dual approach here. There are a couple of people that they might have information on that they're trying to get more information on. There are people in this, in these particular indictments that they want to get more information on. They want to see if there's additional charges. But if they keep turning the screws on everybody involved in this case, they've got to keep an open mind, because what happens if somebody says, "What, did you hear about this guy?" They follow up, that connects them to somebody else, and that connects them to somebody they never had any idea might be involved in this. That's why these investigations are always ongoing. It's not always about pointing to one particular person or group. It's about, hey, we are going to press everybody and see what we can find, and you never know where that's going to bring us.
Ryan Smith, I tell you something right now. I was hesitant to do this, contrary to what him or others would believe. I didn't want to bring up LeBron James' name. Somebody called yesterday, and they tried to implicate him, and I shot that down immediately. I said, there's no evidence of that whatsoever. Let's not indict him, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. In the court of public opinion, that's grossly unfair and irresponsible, and we're certainly not going to do that on this show. He doesn't deserve that, period. Having said all of that, when you show a picture of Damon Jones, it's usually, when you watch the airwaves, it's usually with a picture of him in the Cavaliers uniform standing next to his one of his best buddies, which everybody knows is LeBron James. You just brought up LeBron James in terms of Damon Jones and text messages and stuff like that that they have. You know, how real is should we all be looking at that right now? I mean, again, without casting any aspersions on one of the greatest players to have ever lived, I think that a lot of people believe that when Damon Jones gets mentioned, automatically the name LeBron James comes up. How fair is that? How reasonable is that in a situation such of this nature?
It's not fair. And I want to clarify one thing. When I was mentioning the different communications going back and forth, texts and such, it's Damon Jones and other people involved in these indictments. And LeBron James is not named. I just want to say really clearly for everybody, he is not named. He is not in these indictments. There is a reference to a player one that people believe might be LeBron James. Just want to clarify that for everybody.
Thank you.
But more than that, I think the guilt by association is real and unfair and completely unwarranted. I want to paint this scenario for people who are out there saying, well, if he was best friends with Damon Jones, he had to know what was going on. How many people do we have in our lives who are doing things that we would consider to be, hey, I'm across, that's crossways for me. That's nothing I would ever do. But you don't know about
all of us. Practically all of us.
Yes. And every day it's like you got to walk around thinking, hey, could somebody drop a bomb on me? Somebody close to me that I knew who I didn't know what they were involved in. I think we have to view anybody else who people think is named in this case in any way, in that way. I want to point this out to people. If prosecutors had sufficient evidence for a very, very big fish in this case, they would be in this indictment right now, and they are not. Damon Jones, Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier, those are the people who are in these indictments. Everybody else, they are not in these indictments, and there is no way we can tie anything to them. So I just caution people. I get that that's what we do these days, but I just caution people not to do the guilt by association thing, because Damon Jones, you have to understand, at part of these allegations, had a role in the team that he was working with the Lakers at the time. So it's like conversations happen within organizations, but it's not that anyone can have control over what Damon Jones does, or that they would absolutely know what he was doing, because all of us have sketchy people in our lives who do things that we don't know about.
Ryan Smith, how must the NBA handle this matter, or is it completely and utterly out of their hands and they are at the mercy of the feds?
They are at the mercy of the feds. And I have been racking my brain to figure out how they would handle this. I can say what I believe they're going to do is tighten the windows around injury reporting, try to tighten the screws on tanking, try to limit the circle of people who share information about injuries. But Stephen A., you know this better than I do because you've been around so many different NBA teams. How do injuries work? You're in the training room. People say, I'm hurting here, I'm hurting there. There's a lot of people around. What are we going to do? We're going to send them into a quiet room.
I'm not playing tonight. I'm not playing tonight. You don't know that your boy might turn around and tell somebody who's going to bet on the damn thing. You just said you're not playing.
Or LeBron, the maintenance man who's walking to the building, or the trainer who just happened to pass by, or the guy who delivered lunch who just happened to overhear the conversation because it's the public space within the complex. I don't know how you stop that. And I'm not saying that's what's happening now. Obviously, it's a much more limited circle than what I just described. But it's like, I don't know what they do about that. So at this point, all they can do is wait. See what the FBI reveals, see what they uncover, and then respond. And the best they can do, because the NBA, for better or for worse, just like all sports organizations now, are tied into sports betting, and sports betting is a part of our society right now. All they can do is do the best they can to make sure this never happens again. But I don't know if it's impossible. I don't know if it's possible to ensure that it will never happen again.
How do you believe this will affect leagues and their relationships with sports betting, sports gaming?
Yeah, I wonder if we'll start seeing a little bit of a pullback. I wonder if we'll start seeing people not really engaging in the direct way, especially around prop bets. Right now, I think there's a lot of interaction between leagues and betting industries around prop bets. Take this bet, take that bet. I think it would be very bad for a league if there was promotion of a particular prop bet and that prop bet ended up being revealed as something that was involved in criminal activity. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of a pullback there. But ultimately, I got to say, Stephen A., this bell can't be unrung. We are where we are on sports betting. I remember covering this case when it went down in the Supreme Court, and we knew it was going to have landmark implications, but nobody ever thought it was going to go this far. And I think it's just a bell that you cannot unring. So there will always be this scepter hanging around sports leagues.
But Ryan, is that about going to a casino? Is that about having a relationship? It could be ESPN Bet. It could be DraftKings. It could be FanDuel. Yeah. It could be, Bet MGM. It could be any of these folks. I'm talking, when you look at them and how pervasive they have been in this sports gaming business now, more so than ever before. Like you said, you're saying that bell can't be unrung. To me, it's simply put, you're probably right, because it's just too much money and people ain't gonna walk away from it.
Yeah, and it's also the fact that it's a part of society now. It's when you think about it, I mean, where are we logically going? We're going to a place where you can go to a game and people can do prop bets in real time as things are happening. We can already do it on our phones. But I don't find anything in society these days something that, hey, this is bad, so now we're gonna pull back everything. I think the problem is it's just the inherent risk of this kind of gambling. It just is. And so I don't know what anybody does about it except let it happen and respond. And I know that's not encouraging for people out there who are listening to this and saying, well, I want the integrity of my game to matter. I believe that integrity still does matter, but you are always going to have that 0.001%, or maybe people think it's more, who are going to do stuff like this according to the allegations. And so I don't know if it's preventable, if it will change. I just believe it keeps going forward and everybody, including the leagues, try to do all they can to make sure there's no illegal activity.
Last couple of questions before I let you go, Ryan Smith. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. You remember the whole Tip Donaghy situation with the official, the NBA official, who was caught doing what he was doing when it came to gambling and games and stuff like that. There are people that have looked at Adam Silver, and they wonder if this is his moment, because I remember former Commissioner Stern, God rest his soul. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget, how he handled it. He was not messing around. They came in there, but there was this aura of control. You didn't say whether the feds knew anything or not, but it was clearly David Stern front and center in control. Whereas you just said, they're at the mercy of the feds. This is a different scenario in your mind, it seems. If so, how? And how can Adam Silver handle what I'll call this David Stern moment for himself?
Yeah. It's a great question. I would say we are in a different time. When David Stern was overseeing the Donaghy situation, he had the ability to control. He had the ability and the strength and the power behind the organization to control. Sports betting and that kind of situation back then, there was much more of the FBI working with the NBA, trying to make sure they get information. And there's that here, I'm sure. But now, the scepter of sports betting is so much larger, so much more unwieldy. I know that for people who say David Stern might have handled this differently, I don't see how. Because this is such a much different time, and sports betting has so many tentacles, is so vast, this case is so potentially vast, that there's only so much Adam Silver can do. Stephen A., this is just me, but I believe Adam Silver can meet this moment, but he's going to do it in a different way. I think what Adam Silver is very good at is seeing how things come and responding with the game's integrity in mind. And call me an Adam Silver believer, that's fine. I think that's what this, but that's what this moment warrants, because we're in 2025 where you can't just say, this is my league, I determine what happens. This is a player's league. This is sports gambling infiltrating everything. This is the FBI being involved. And there is no way, I don't know what individual could control all of this. So I think in a way it requires, let me get with the FBI. Let me make sure I have as tight a connection with them so I can expose everything they've got and make sure I'm responding. Let me constantly come up with ways to guard the NBA and be a steward of the NBA, because I can't control everything right now. And I think that's what he's going to do. And I think that's the best he can do.
I think he's one of the best commissioners in the history of the sport. And if anybody can handle this ordeal in this time, it's Adam Silver. I have every confidence, just like I got all the confidence in the world in you, my brother. I appreciate you coming on the show to educate my listeners. Thank you so much, Ryan Smith. We'll talk soon. You take it easy, all right?
Appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you soon.
The one and only Ryan Smith, legal analyst extraordinaire for ABC, ESPN, and the whole Walt Disney family. He is simply one of the best in the business. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. More of your calls, your voicemail messages as well in a minute. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio.